trying to get calmed down where I can read. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says here in verse number 10, he said that I may know him. They're talking about Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, press forward toward the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. That's what we're going to preach about tonight. The Lord bless you. Amen. There's all kinds of ways to motivate people. Amen. When I was a kid, I could be motivated with a belt. That was not my favorite. I could also be motivated with reward. Amen. Somebody, I could, you know, if they told me, well, if you do so and so, then you'll get an ice cream cone. I could be motivated by that. I still can. Amen. I still like ice cream. Amen. And so I could be motivated. Reward's a good way to motivate people. As a matter of fact, reward's a better way to motivate people than anything else. There was a very wealthy man who had a very homely daughter. He was having a hard time getting her married. So he invited all of the single eligible bachelors from miles around. And he set his daughter on one side of the swimming pool, and he put the eligible young men on the other side of the swimming pool. The swimming pool was filled with alligators. And he said, the young man that has enough courage to swim across this pool will be able to wed my daughter and inherit my fortune. About that time, a young man hit the water. Man, he started swimming like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he swam across that thing in record time. He got out on the other bank, and the man was impressed. He said, son, was it the love for my daughter that motivated you? Or was it for the fortune that you're going to inherit? He said, neither one. He said, it's revenge. I can't wait to get my hands on the guy that pushed me into that pool. There's all kinds of rewards. There's all kinds of ways to motivate people to do things. Amen. But you and I are motivated tonight, and we have reason to be. The Bible said that Abraham was motivated. God had called him out to go to a place that he had never seen. Amen. Well, we heard a message just the other day about going and canting about going to a place that you've never seen. He called him out, the Bible said, and he went not knowing whether he went. That's happened to me a time or two. Amen. Somebody asked Daniel Boone one time, they said, have you ever been lost? He said, nope. He said, I've been bewildered 2 or 3 days, but I've never been lost. Amen. Well, I'd call that lost if you were bewildered for a few days. Amen. But he went out not knowing where he went. And the Bible said, now, this next portion of this verse, this is Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 9. It said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. As in a strange country. Is it possible to be in the promised land and feel like a stranger? It is if you don't realize you're in the promised land. And I think there are folks that come to church that don't realize they're in a promised land. Amen. Don't be a stranger here. Go ahead and get into it. Go ahead and clap your hands. Go ahead and lift up your voice. Go ahead and stand on your feet. Go ahead and worship the Lord. Don't feel like you're a stranger in the promised land. Amen. This is it, folks. This is Canaan. We're on our way to heaven tonight. But you might as well not be a stranger on the journey. You're a chosen child of God. You belong here. Amen. The Bible said we're pilgrims and strangers in the world. And we are. I don't feel at home in this world, but I feel at home in the presence of the Lord. Forever I feel that. I feel at home. I've had the privilege to worship in about 17 different nations. And every time when they get to singing, I may not understand the words, but I can feel at home in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know what I like about this is everywhere you go, worship's a little bit different. Amen. People worship differently in different countries. There's a different feel to it. But it's always the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you go to Colombia, you know you just can't be still. It's impossible. Something just gets to moving in you. Amen. And you got to move a little bit. Praise the Lord. I haven't been to Africa, but I've watched and had good friends, missionaries there, and you know they dance all the time. Amen. They cannot sit still. If they're in church, they're going to be dancing. Praise the Lord. If you were not at the wedding the other day, let's press on. Amen. But there's a dancing. Amen. Sometimes it gets in your feet. Amen. Hey, it's a part of your culture sometimes. It's the way you grow up. Amen. And it's okay when you get to heaven, you're going to see all kinds of worship. Amen. But it's all going to be worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I hope God just keeps on adding all kinds of people here and we get all kinds of worship. Then we'd have heaven on earth. Amen. So the Bible said he was in the land of promise, but as in a strange country. And then it goes into a little more definition. It says he dwelling in tabernacles. The word tabernacles here are tents. Did you know Abraham was a very, very wealthy man? And he never lived in a house. He always lived in a tent. I got a feeling it was a pretty nice tent. But it was a tent. You know why he lived in a tent? He lived in a tent by choice. The Bible said because he looked for a city. He was looking for a reward. He had his eyes on the prize. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you've got heaven in your eyes, you'll never be satisfied with this old world. Amen. If you got your eyes on the prize tonight, you're not ever going to be satisfied. A house is not going to tempt you. A luxury automobile is not going to tempt you. A fashion design is not going to tempt you. A bank account is not going to tempt you. Amen. What good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Amen. Hey, we got to keep our eyes on the prize, folks. Amen. It's all right to have stuff. It's all right to appreciate stuff. Whatever stuff you got, you need to take care of. But don't ever love your stuff. I've heard people say, I love my house. Be careful. I've heard people say, I love my car. Be careful. Amen. Don't love it too much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got to keep our eye on the prize. Abraham lived in a tent. He could have built a mansion. He could have had the fanciest house in the east, but he wasn't interested in that. Amen. He said, I'm in this place, and I can't feel at home. I know it's a promised land. God's given it to me. God's given it to my heirs. Amen. But I got a feeling I just can't be satisfied until I get home. Amen. You know, David, when he was a young man, went out to fight Goliath. How many love that story? I like that story. My mom had a big old family Bible, and it had a picture in there of David and Goliath. That's my favorite picture in that Bible. I couldn't read, but I could look at pictures. And I'd get that big old Bible out, and I'd lay down on the floor, and I'd flip it open. I knew just where it was. And I'd get over there, and I'd pass Samson pushing down the temple, and rocks are crumbling. His big old muscles are rippling. And I'd look past Samson. I said, I've got to find David. Him, and I'd get over there. You know what I liked about David's picture in that old family Bible? It wasn't when he was just twirling his sling. It had a picture of David hacking his head off and holding that big old gory head up by his head. He was a true champion. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that made in today's society, I'd get arrested for saying something like that. Amen. People think I'm violent. Amen. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. There's sometimes you got to get down to business. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was a fair fight. David gave him warning. Yes, he did. He warned him. Amen. Here comes old David with a slingshot. There stands 9 foot tall Goliath with his spear like a weaver's beam and his mighty sword in his hand. And his shield bearer standing before him. David said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. He said, God is going to deliver you into my hands, buzzard bait. Amen. And he got, I'm paraphrasing a little bit because I'm getting carried away. But then he gets that stone and he slings it. Amen. And God gives impetus and direction to the stone and spat in the forehead. And down goes the giant. But he didn't stop there. He ran over and pulled out his sword, cut his head off, held it up high. And he said, let's go get him, boys. Charge! Amen. Now what brought all that on? Well, David took some cheese and bread to his brothers. That's what he's doing there. But when he got there, he found that they were in a precarious situation. They had a champion of the Philistines, but they didn't have a champion for the Israelites. Brother Jack Yance, I loved his description years ago, preaching on this subject. He said, you could tell the Israelites because they all had a suntan from the nose up. That's all that was sticking out of the foxhole right here. Amen. And so when David got on the scene, he asked a question. He said, what shall be done for the man that goes out? And here's what they told him. They said, the king will enrich him with great riches. Not bad. He said, and will give him his daughter. We'll see. And here's the main thing. And make his father's house free. That means no more IRS. For the rest of your life. You can forget April the 15th. It will not apply to you. You can make all the money you want to make, and nobody's going to put a levy on your taxes because you're going to be tax-free. Now, that ought to motivate people. Amen. And so David, he had a reward in his mind. He kept his eye on the prize. I don't know if he had ever seen Saul's daughter or not. Money sounded good. Amen. Tax-free sounded good. Amen. And then when the old Goliath came and started insulting people, he'd had enough. He turned around and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They must have forgot that they were the army of the living God. Amen. And his brothers said, "Well, you naughty boy, you come down here." He said, "Is there not a cause?" Amen. Don't you tell these young people they can't do something. God might have been waiting a long time for one of them. Somebody to get enough courage to get out and try something. You say, "Well, we never tried that." Well, try it. Who knows what a motorcycle ministry may do? Who knows what a prison ministry may do? We need a jail minister right here in Athens. We need somebody that will go in there and teach those young men and minister to them on that level. Amen. I love Sister, I don't know if you ever met Sister Carrie Eastridge. She was one of the greatest Christians. She was the mother of Sister Nona Freeman. And if the Freemans were the apostles to Africa, if you will. But Sister Eastridge, that's where Sister Freeman got her start. Sister Eastridge, one time, she met the board. She was a lady. And back then, women preachers were few and far between. Some people still don't believe in them, but God does. Because he calls them.
Yes, he does.
And so they Sister Freeman was before the board and they said, Sister Eastridge, and they said, tell us about your call from the Lord to preach. She said, "Okay, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Sister Eastridge went down to South Texas, and when the war was going on and all the young men and the men were gone and there wasn't anybody to pastor the church, and so she went down and she took the church and she got it up and going, and the number was increasing and the church was doing well, and they said, "Well, you've done good, sister. Now let's get a man in here." Amen. And so he came and stayed a little while and left, and church went down, and you know who they called? Sister Eastridge. And she went back, and she built it up again. Amen. She went to Africa. And she went to New Mexico, and she started preaching on the Indian reservations and started a ministry that her son, Brother Jerry Eastridge, is still carrying on to this day. Amen. I'm talking about somebody. She just saw something that needed doing, and she did it. She didn't stand around. She didn't wait for anything. She just said, "I see an opportunity. I see a ministry," and she went after it. She stepped through an open door. God honored that. Amen. He's looking for some folks here tonight. We need people that'll go to nursing homes. Amen. We need people that'll go to the jail. We need all kinds of people just going out doing what the Lord directs you to do. You pray about it. And then when he speaks to you, just step up and say, "I'll do it." David was just a young lad, perhaps 17, 18 years old. Very young man. He was not the greatest warrior in Israel. Matter of fact, he didn't even know how to wear the armor. I mean, Saul put the best of the best on him. It was the king's own armor. He said, "I can't use this stuff. I don't know anything about swords and spears and all this baloney." He said, "All I know is a slingshot." Amen. So he got rid of the king's armor, and he went out with what he was used to, and he went, what? In the name of the Lord. And that's all he needed. And that's all you need. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I'm sure you don't, but you'll find out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pardon this reference, but Brother Garcia touched on this a little bit the other day when he was here in Raymondville. When we went there, we started street services. And we didn't have any success. We tried that. A little later, the church had grown. We had some people in there, and we had, we were excited like right now, this revival attitude and spirit we've got right here. That's what we had in Raymondville at that time. Wasn't that way at the beginning, but it developed there. And one day, a young man came to me, and he said, Brother Grissom, I want to do street services. I didn't say, well, we already tried that. That won't work. I said, well, good. Let's do street services. And you know what? We did street services. And they did the preaching. I didn't do the preaching. They did the preaching. Amen. They did the singing. And Sister Grissom talked about it a little bit the other night. People would actually, they'd hear us singing, and they'd leave their house, and they'd come down out in the street, and they'd listen to us. And we had people that came that we'd never seen before. And they said, when we prayed for them sick, and they left healed. Some of them didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. They came and received the Holy Ghost right on the street. Amen. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. The prize is not me. The prize is not you. The prize is Jesus Christ. Amen. One of them came and said, I'd like to do a jail ministry. I said, good. Let's do jail ministry. Amen. He got in jail. He started preaching. I mean, he didn't get in jail literally. He went he started preaching in the jail. Amen. And guess what? The Holy Ghost started moving. We had a service one day, and these two guys were there, and they didn't look like everybody else. They didn't have on those orange suits or anything. And so I noticed they were different. I said, well, did y'all come to service? They said, no. I said, we're from such and such church. And said, this is our service. And I said, well, I thought it was our service, but that's fine. We'll just have church with you. And they said, oh, no. You go ahead. Why don't you preach? I said, okay. Amen. And you know what? They both got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. Things got so good. Richard wanted to have he said, I want to have a revival in the jail. I said, well, good. Let's see if we can. And they let us have 7 nights of service in the jail. 8 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the jail. Amen. And you know what? When we closed out on a Saturday night, they had a jailbreak. And yes, they did. Somebody blew a hole in the thing, and a bunch of people got out. But you know what? They told Brother Richards, they said, I want you to tell the pastor that not a one of us that was in those meetings tried to get out. Every one of us stayed here. They got something. Amen. I was at the church not long after that, and a knock on the door answered, and there stood the sheriff. He said, can I pray in your auditorium? I said, yes, sir. Pray away. He was in there a little while, and he came back in a little bit, and he said, I would like for you to baptize me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'd have them come to the church, and, you know, they'd have their little chain things on, you know, and their little suits, and they'd get the chains off. We'd baptize them in Jesus' name. They'd put the chains back on them and shuffle them back out to the car. Amen. They were bound on the outside, but free on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. Went to the church one day, saw this odd car there. Thought, man, I don't know that one. Don't blow anybody to church. I knew I was fixing to get hit up for money. So I cautiously went to the door, and this guy walks out wearing an orange jumpsuit. Very distinctive. Recognized it from the county jail. Amen. He said, Pastor, I recognized him. After then, he said, I promised the Lord. He said, as soon as I got out of jail, I was going to come to the church and I was going to give thanks. And I said, well, that's great, man. He said, well, it was locked, but I just picked the lock and went on in. Praise the Lord. First time I ever knew of anybody to break in the church to give thanks to God. Hey, but he came out empty-handed. And he wasn't taking anything. He just wanted to give something. He just wanted to give God praise. He wanted to give God thanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, we got to keep our eye on the prize tonight. Amen. David said, is there not a cause? Amen. Young, yes. Inexperienced, yes. But willing, yes. Obedient, yes. And that's all God needed. Are we ever so arrogant to think that God needs our abilities? Am I really so smart that God's depending on my intelligence? If He is, we're in trouble. Am I really so talented that God is depending on my talent? No. 1,000 times, no. God's only, the only ability that I have that God is looking for is my availability. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, yes. That's what He's looking for. Amen. Jesus Himself, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. It said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that is, all of those heroes of faith that are listed in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And excuse me. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Now listen closely. Looking unto Jesus. How are you going to run this race? How are you going to finish this race? You've got to get your eye on the prize. Looking unto Jesus. The author. That word means the trailblazer, the pioneer, the one that went before where there was no way and made a way, the one that went where there was no trail and left a trail, the one that went where no one had ever been before and carved out a way for His people, the church, to follow after Him. Jesus is our trailblazer. He made a way where it did not exist before He came. And He said, you can follow this. He's the author and He is the finisher. I think that's good about God is that He finishes stuff. Amen. He's not just a starter, but He is a finisher. The devil started some trouble, and God said, but I'm going to finish the trouble. Hallelujah. The devil's the fight. Jesus said, I'm going to finish the fight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And as far as He's concerned, it's already over, and the victory is already won. Jesus from the cross did not say, let's get started. He said, it is finished. Amen. I'm telling you today, the devil has already lost. Amen. He is already defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture said He knows that He just has a little time and He's all stirred up about it. Amen. But I'm telling you today, the battle's already finished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Get this. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Everybody say the joy.
Joy.
The joy. The joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. Endured. Did not enjoy, but endured the cross. Despising the shame. And is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. How did he do it? Because he kept his eye on the prize. There was joy that was set before him. What is that joy? You and me. There was a redeemed church on the other side of Calvary. He said, you might be rejoicing today, devil, and you might be rejoicing today, hell, but I'm going to let you know something. In just a few days, there's going to be a revival in an upper room in Jerusalem. Amen. It's called the day of Pentecost. And he said, when that happens, we're going to shake the foundation. Amen. That was the joy that was set before him. And since that time, multiplied millions have come and been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized into his name. Amen. He has sent evangelists all around the planet. They preached in every nation. They've conquered every kind of sickness and disease and every kind of addiction and every kind of a problem has been solved. Amen. You talk about joy. Amen. The psalmist said, the Lord's pleasure is his people. God doesn't get a whole lot of joy out of stuff. Amen. It's all his anyway. We say, well, it's my house. We'll see. You miss a few payments. We'll see. Amen. I own it free and clear. But we'll see. Amen. You may own it for a few years. Amen. One of these days you'll draw your last breath. It won't be your house anymore.
Nope.
Amen. It's mine. Mine, mine, mine. Yeah, oh no, it's not. It's all on loan. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Cause my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. We got to keep that in mind, folks. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom got bad news. I lost my job today. Paul said, our sufficiency is of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Your sufficiency is not ever through your employer. Your sufficiency is of the Lord. He might be using that employer now, but he'll get you another employer later. Amen. You see, we got to keep our eyes on the prize. If I just got my eyes on my employer and on my paycheck or on a government check, I'm in a whole bunch of trouble. Hey, you've got to get your eyes higher than that. You've got to understand that our sufficiency is of the Lord. And if I lose this, now you hear me. Depends on why you lose it. You get lazy and get fired, you might be in trouble. The Lord may not send you another one so easy. I've heard people have such a cavalier about their job. Well, I don't need this job. We'll see. If you live with mom and daddy, they might be nice enough, but you get hungry enough, you'll need a job. Amen. I hate that kind of attitude. That don't belong in a Christian. I said, that doesn't belong in a Christian. I don't care what your job is, you ought to be the best employee they've got. Don't you let that old stinking attitude of the world rub off on you. Somebody's paying you good wages and good money for your time. When you're in there working, you give them everything you've got. Amen. Well, they don't pay me enough. Amen. One guy, I know, they said, when he's applying for the job, they said, how much money do you want? He said, we'll pay you what you're worth. He said, I can't live on that. Amen. That's all right. He's honest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so you get in there and you give it all you got. The Bible said, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. You're not just working for an employer. You're working for Jesus Christ. If you're a dog catcher, you'd be the best dog catcher the world's ever had. Whatever you do. Amen. Garbage collector, that's fine. You'd be the best garbage collector the world's ever seen. If you're a president, you'd be the best president that the world's ever seen. You get with it because you represent Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on the prize. You know what I've learned? You go to work with that kind of attitude, and when it comes time to lay somebody off, you're not getting laid off. Amen, because they like your attitude and they like your work ethic. They said, these people, you know, they'll do anything I ask them to do. If somebody's got an old stinking surly attitude, that's going to be the first one to go. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like my boss. You don't like Jesus? He's your boss. That other guy's not your boss. Amen. Jesus is who you're working for. Isn't that right? Amen. That kind of puts things in a different light, doesn't it? I just thought I ought to address that a little bit. Because, you know, our world's a different place today. Amen. And people, if you're not careful, the attitude of the world can rub off on you. And you'll get some stinking thinking in your head. And you can't allow that to happen. You're a Christian. Amen. You've got to keep your eye on the prize. Yes. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Jesus, he had his eye on the joy. Amen. He endured the cross. And it was hard. And he despised the shame. But he had his eye on the prize. Yes. He said, just on the other side of this cross is a victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me finish this up. The Apostle Paul, and when he started all this, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see what he's saying? He said, all of my worldly plans. Paul was an ambitious man. And he was on the fast track for the big time. Yes, he was. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Amen. He was. He volunteered to arrest and persecute Christians. He said, you give me their names, I'll go get them. I'll drag them out. I'll arrest them. I'll flog them myself. I'll throw the stones. I'll wield the sword. I don't care. I hate Christians. Amen. That was the B.C. Paul before Christ. Amen. He was on the fast track. He was ambitious. He thought he was doing right. He considered himself righteous. He said, concerning the law, he said, I was blameless. I kept all of it. And so he said, you know what? He said, all that, it was just waste. Now that's a strong word he uses there. You know what that word means in the Greek? Same thing it means in English. It's a strong word. Paul said, that's what I think of that. Oh, self-righteousness that I had. Oh, ugly, ambitious, filthy, vile spirit. He said, that was my pride and joy. He said, now it's not even fit for the garbage dump. He felt pretty strongly about it, didn't he? Amen. He said, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. And righteousness, which is by God, by faith. He said, I don't want Paul's righteousness. I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want an attitude or a relationship with God that's built on my righteousness and my works and my actions. He said, but I want to be right with God, with a right relationship with God. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. Amen. That's what he's aiming for. He said, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Not perfect. Anybody identify with that? Those of you who think you're perfect annoy those of us that are. That does not apply. Paul said, I'm not claiming to be perfect. Amen. He said, but I'll follow after that I might apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, that verse always kind of was hard for me to understand. What does it mean to apprehend? You know what that word means, don't you? That's what they do to criminals. They apprehend them. It means they arrest them. So you could say it like this. He said, if I may be arrested for that which I saw, also am arrested of Jesus Christ. He said, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He has arrested me. It also means to grasp, to lay hold of. Paul said, he said, I have not laid hold of everything that Jesus laid hold on me for. There's still some things that I'm reaching for that are just beyond my grasp, but I'm still reaching. I'm still reaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody said that a man's grasp must exceed his reach, or what's a heaven for? There's got to be something that you're reaching for. By the way, this word perfect here is talking about our maturity. It's talking about growth. It's talking about progress in life. It's not a destination. Amen. You're not going to arrive someplace in life and say, I'm perfect, but you're always reaching for more. Amen. I've come a long way on the journey. I'm better than I was, but I'm not what I want to be. Amen. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Hallelujah. That's reaching forward. That's what we're doing here, isn't it? That's what Paul's talking about. He's reaching out. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I'm doing. Everybody say one thing. Amen. And then he lists two. One thing, then he lists two things. He's a Pentecostal, sure enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, there's one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. If you're going to be a good Christian, you need a good forgetter. I can promise you that somebody's going to do you wrong. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to promise you that somebody in the church is going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. Somebody's going to say something that's going to hurt you. Amen. And when that happens, you've got to have a good forgetter. You've got to be able to let that pass away, roll off, go on. Amen. You've got to forget about that. Well, Brother Grissom, they didn't even apologize. Forget it. It doesn't matter. It's past. It's yesterday. Go on. Amen. Paul said, I got a good forgetter. I'm going to forget all that stuff that's behind me. Amen. Some people have one thing they did years ago and they still talk about it today. I remember when I used to be a soul winner. Used to be? I remember when I used to be a prayer warrior. Used to be? Amen. What Paul is saying, whatever I achieved and whatever I attained or whatever kind of accolades I received, it doesn't cut any mustard today. You might have pinned some medals on my chest yesterday, but I'm not stopping there because I've got work to do. There are still souls to win. There are still kingdoms to conquer. I've got to go on. Amen. I'm not stopping now. I'm not resting on my laurels. I'm not sitting on some ivory throne of ease. But I've got work to do for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he means by forgetting. You got to forget all that stuff. You might have been the best in your class, and that's well and good. Amen. But you got work to do for the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had the privilege years ago to preach at Texas Youth Camp. And that was a great honor. And the next week, I was a dean in the dorm, pushing a mop and a broom. Amen. You see, you just got to lay aside. You can't get that little ugly attitude. Oh, but I'm a preacher now. I don't do that anymore. You know, I preach camps now. I don't push mops and brooms anymore. Oh, if you're going to serve Jesus, you will. You'll do whatever it takes. You just go ahead and your hands never get too big for a mop or a broom. And if you think they are, you need to rush over right now, even before I get through preaching, and grab one and get to work. Just to show your old stinking flesh. Amen. That I'm not too good. Amen. God help me not to ever get so big. I can forget. Amen. I can still mow a lawn. Amen. I can still repair a faucet. I can still unclog a commode. I can do whatever needs to be done. And I never want to get over that. Hey, boy, it's good preaching, Brother Grissom. You're on some good stuff here tonight, man. Amen. Paul said, he said, whatever accolades, that was yesterday. Today we got work to do. Amen. And so he said, I'm pressing on here. He said, what did he say? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. Yeah, I've told you this before, but this is a marvelous lesson if you've never heard it. Do you know how to catch a monkey? This is the best way to catch a monkey. What you do is you get a jar that's got a mouth on it big enough for him to get his hand into. And you bury that in the sand. And then you put some treat that he likes or some trinket into that jar. And monkey will come along and he will stick his hand in that jar and he'll make a little fist to bring it out. And then he can't get his hand out. But he won't let go. He'll keep holding on until you come get him. Some people never made it past that stage. I don't believe in evolution, but... That's right. Some people get a hold of a little old something, and they're not about to let it go. Paul said, I'm going to let go of that, and I'm going to reach forth for whatever's out there. Well, we had a good church, good service, but we got another Wednesday night. And we'll have another one next Sunday if the Lord tarries.
Amen. We always got to be reaching. We got to be reaching. We got to be reaching. Amen. We can't stop. There's no resting place here. Amen. And then he said it, did he not? He said, I press. You know what that word means? Push yourself. Anybody here ever run track? Amen. Some of us did in the day. Amen. Back when we were in shape, a different shape. Amen. I remember running. Amen. And you see, when we talk about pressing, that's if it's a relay race, it's whenever the anchor gets that baton in his hand, and he presses. I mean, he's gasping for breath. His lungs are burning. His muscles are burning and aching. But he's running with everything that he's got in him. And when he gets close to that tape, he thrusts out his chest. And if I can just beat him by 1 inch, that's as good as a mile. It doesn't matter how much it takes to win, but I've got to win this thing. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I'm pressing toward that tape. I'm pressing toward that good at finish line. And I'm giving it everything that I've got in me. I've been running a long time, but there's no place to stop. There's not any place to quit. There's not any place to give up. But you've got to keep pressing every day. You can't give in. You can't give up. You can't give out. You've got to go on. And so he said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. What is our prize today?
Jesus.
I'm looking for two words. Well done. Boy, that seems like a... Doesn't seem like much of a prize. It just depends on who's saying it. I said it depends on who's saying it. If I can just hear those two words, then I know what follows. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Amen. That's the prize, folks. That's what we're striving for here tonight. I've said this time and again. I'm going to say it again tonight, and I hope it really sinks in. Christianity is not a competition. You're not in competition with anybody here. We don't give out certificates around here for the best prayer. We don't give any honors for the best singer. Amen. We don't give any special attention to the best preacher. Amen. That's not what we're after here. It's not a competition that we're involved in. Competition's a worldly thing. It breeds pride. I said it breeds pride. Amen. Competition's not in the church. That's not what we're about. We're not about competition. We're about cooperation. Yeah. Amen. Let me illustrate in closing tonight what I'm talking about. It was in the Special Olympics some years ago, and they were running. And as they were running and getting close to the finish line, one of the runners fell down, hurt himself. He began to cry with the pain. And those that were nearing the finish line turned around and went back and picked him up and crossed the finish line together.
That's what I'm talking about tonight. They were saying, it doesn't matter if I get there first. When I get there, I want my brother to get there too. I don't want to go across that finish line by myself. I want to take somebody with me. That's the attitude of the church. It's not competition. It's cooperation. Amen. It's helping one another. It's encouraging one another. It's praying for one another. Amen. It's giving to one another. It's whatever it takes to get somebody going and keep them going. I've heard somebody say, amen. Well, you know, they pray through every revival. Great. Great. Just keep coming. Keep coming. Keep praying. Amen. That's all right. That's what it takes. Just keep praying. But they don't need your comments. They don't need your self-righteous attitude. They don't need your judgmental spirit. They need your compassion. They need your kindness. They need your encouragement. They need your godly, faithful example. You know what? I've seen some of them come around and make it. All they needed was somebody to believe in them. Somebody just to encourage them. Amen. A lot of people are saved in the church in spite of us. Instead of because of us. But we need to change that. We need to care so much. We need to care so much that we refuse to let anybody fall by the wayside. Is that right? Can anybody give me an amen on that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. Encouragers. Amen. Paul said, I've got a prize, and I got my eyes on the prize. Well done. Well done. Let's stand together. Thank you so very much tonight for your time, your attention, and thanks be to God for the beautiful spirit of this service. Amen. I'm so glad that He's met with us here. Praise the Lord. Anybody here, you got your eyes on the prize tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get your eyes on people. The quickest way to fail and get disturbed and fall out with God and everybody else is to get your eyes on people. I promise they'll disappoint you. Amen. Don't get your eyes on me. Because sure as the world, I'll fail you. I won't do it on purpose. And if you let me know about it, I'll do everything I can to make it right. But I'm going to fail because I can't live up to your expectations. I'm a pilgrim just like you. I'm in this race also. And I fail people. I don't mean to, but I do. And you do too. So you don't get your eyes on people. Get your eyes on the prize. Amen. Get your eyes on the prize. That's how you're going to make it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I had a little disappointment today, Lord. I hate to admit it, but you know, somebody really did hurt my feelings, but that's all right. Because I got my eyes on the prize. Today was pretty tough. Some bad stuff happened. That's all right. I got my eyes on the prize. And I'm pressing toward the mark. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way. It could be somebody here tonight. You need to forget some things. You've been hurt. Somebody let you down. You can't hold on to that. All the time you're licking your wounds, you're not looking to the prize. You got to put that behind you and just say, all right, I've had this long enough. I'm not getting any better by hanging on to it. I'm going to lay it aside. And I'm going to lift up my eyes to the prize. Amen. You got to forget some stuff. Amen. You got to reach out. Keep pressing. Have I preached to anybody here tonight? Have I talked to anybody here tonight? Amen. Has the Holy Ghost talked to anybody here tonight? Has the Word of the Lord talked to anybody here tonight? Amen. If you need to make your way to this altar, this would be a good time. Amen. If you need to lay some things down, this is a good time to lay them down. If you've got some weights that are holding you back, this is a good time to get rid of them. If there's some sin besetting you, this is a good time to get over it. This is a good time to lay it down. Jesus, I don't need any extra weight. I don't need anything holding me back. I don't need anything weighing me down. I'm trying to run a race here. Praise the Lord. I'm pressing toward a mark here. I got my eye on a prize here. I need you tonight, Jesus, to help me. I don't want anything to get me off stride. I don't want anything to get me off course. God, I don't want to be disqualified this late in the day. I've run a long time. I've come a long way. I've got to strive lawfully. Amen. I've got to run right. I got to finish my course. Help me today, Jesus. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I got my eyes on the prize tonight. I can't listen to the praise of people or the criticizers. Sometimes praise can be just as deadly as criticism. God, I need to keep my eye on the prize today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. You said if we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're unwise.
Don't stop your journey.
Amen. We got to keep our eye on the prize. I can't get my eye on what my brother or sister is doing or is not doing. I got to keep my eye on the prize.
Don't stop your journey.
Amen. I'm not in a competition. I'm not trying to outdo somebody else. I'm just trying to win the prize. I'm just trying to hear my master say, well done. I gotta run it my way. I gotta run it my pace. I can't run somebody else's race. I gotta run my race. I can't carry somebody else's cross. I gotta take up my cross. Oh, help me today, Jesus. Help me.
Journey now. You've come too far.
Pressing.
Turn
toward the mark.
I could hear my Savior say, "You've come too far, so turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey now. You've come too far, so turn around now, too far. Don't stop your journey. Standing in a crowd.